Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Tarabary, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive, and it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with one of my very favorite industry leaders to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer's or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So we're going to dive right in. I am thrilled to introduce Brian Finkelmeyer. He's the Senior Director of Insights and Advisory at Cox Automotive, an esteemed colleague and dear friend, and he has spent his entire career in the automotive industry, working at Nissan for nearly 20 years in various sales leadership positions prior to joining Cox Automotive. Brian was also responsible for the Viotto new car inventory solution Conquest, which many of my listeners are very familiar with. So Brian, welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward.
Jade, it's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Well, we're excited to have you, Brian. So can you share a little bit about a very hot topic? In fact, a topic that you covered in a recent article that you wrote titled, "The Party Crashers Have Arrived, But the Auto Retail Celebration Isn't Over Yet." I just love what you shared in that article, and I would love to cover a few of the items because I think it's something that our dealers and OEM partners, and really industry as a whole, should be reminded of, especially as they're planning for 2025. So to start off, can you share a little with our viewers and listeners about what those party crashers are and how they have affected our industry, especially dealers, over the last year?
Absolutely. Well, I think all of us know that have been on this crazy journey the last few years in the auto industry recognize that we lived through just unprecedented times coming out of COVID and the ensuing microchip shortage that unfolded. And what this did to new car margins and the new car business was really just extraordinary. And I think one of the things that was interesting that the car business, you know, unexpectedly figured out was that we could actually make more money selling less cars. And so if we go back and look at the amount of revenue and profit that we generated back in 2018, 2019, and kind of the pre-COVID era versus what happened in 2022 and 23, just completely night and day different situation. And what we saw was that, you know, car dealers across the country that were maybe making $1 million or so a year, we're now making $3-4 million. In fact, I have a friend that runs a luxury store down in Atlanta whose store netted over $21 million in 2022. And so we just saw these just enormous explosion of profitability as dealers were able to sell a richer mix of cars. You know, we saw just a huge uptick in terms of manufacturers not being able to build as many. So they started to build much more expensive, more heavily equipped vehicles. And then I think the other big benefit that happened during COVID was we saw that F&I income went up significantly as well, which is obviously, we all know, a high margin part of the business. So this created this perfect storm. And I always jokingly say that COVID helped to make the car business healthy because dealers just had such a remarkable run. And so my article that you touched on was just about how we enjoyed this unprecedented times. And now these party crashers are starting to rear their ugly heads and trying to slow down the party.
So, Brian, what do we do now? Where do you see things headed when it comes to rising inventories and holding costs? And how's it affecting dealers as we close out 2024?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jade. I think, obviously, we start, obviously, with inventory. And if we look from a year ago to today, the industry is up about 1 million units, which is pretty significant. And I would say that we're not back to where we were kind of before COVID, but from a day supply level, we're inching back to sort of what we might refer to as a more normalized inventory levels. And some brands in particular, and I won't name names, if the inventory has become really, really heavy. And so, you know, now the perfect storm of the party crashes is rising inventory coupled with higher interest rates has created real financial headwinds in the form of floor plan expense on a monthly basis. And we went back and did the math and just said, what was a dealer spending on floor plan back in 2021, 22 versus what they're spending today? And it's hard to believe, but it's over $500 million a month in additional holding expense across the American car dealers. So this is a significant party crasher, to say the least.
Yeah, it definitely is. So, Brian, let's talk about affordability challenges. You know, I talk about this often being something that won't just be affecting dealers now, but that's going to be here for many years to come, especially with so many consumers getting into extended loan terms just to qualify and afford a car. And, you know, then there's different buying and life cycles affecting current and future inventory constraints. The dealers' increased floor planning costs that you just mentioned, costs in general, the shift of having more buyers paying cash due to higher interest rates, some of the highest rates that we've seen in about 25 years. And that's just to name a few of those affordability challenges. So with those, in today's times on both dealers and consumers alike, what changes have you seen them have on the industry as a result? And what should dealers be focused on to lessen the impact of that party crasher on profitability?
Yeah, I mean, Jade, you're hitting on one of the key challenges that I would say is perhaps one of the most astounding aspects of the market performance this year. Is on the year, we're tracking 2-3% uptick versus prior year. The industry probably won't touch 16 million cars, but get close. I think Cox Automotive is forecasting close to 15.9 million units sold. The first half this year was very positive. All that being said, it's remarkable the extent to which, I guess, the resiliency of the American consumer to be able to fend off the points that you're making. Higher interest rates, average new car loans up around almost 10%. I think at 1 month, we actually cracked 10% as the average cost of money on a new car loan. Used cars up over 14% on average, against that's across all credit tiers. So we've seen just enormous pressure put on American households in terms of the cost of borrowing money. But then the other aspect that's probably even creating more pressure is just the fact that, you know, I think they say that something like 50% of American consumers can afford a $400 a month payment based on the current situation. As they say, you probably shouldn't spend more than 10 to 15% of your take home pay on a car. So 50% of American consumers are at that $400 is really the max level. Right now in today's marketplace, 0.7% of all new cars bring with it a $400 a month monthly payment. Think about that. It wasn't that long ago. I know, Jade, certainly when you and I were growing up, you know, sedans were everywhere and the Accord and the Camry used to battle every year for the number one selling vehicle in America. And so, you know, we just grew up in a different time of where, you know, inexpensive, fuel efficient sedans was really the king. And now today it's, you go into any parking lot of a Target, a shopping mall, whatever you have, try to find a sedan. It's all big SUVs that bring with it very expensive MSRPs. And so I think on that point, think about it. We used to sell, the average MSRP before the pandemic was around 35, 36,000. Today's upwards of 48, 49,000. So it's a combination of that richer mix of inventory coupled with the interest rates has created a scenario where the average monthly new car payment now runs around $785 a month. Really just an astounding number, because, you know, back in the day, I would have thought that was a luxury payment. That's just that's a Ford, a Chevy, a Toyota, a Nissan. Is $785 a month is pretty crazy to think about.
Yes, it is unbelievable. And it's also unbelievable to me. You know, a moment ago, we talked about some of those stocking strategy changes and production changes that, you know, we're creeping back up on what it looked like pre-pandemic. But I've talked to a number of dealers recently that are saying they have more new car inventory on their lot today than they've ever had. You know, and they're looking back 10, 15, 20 years of records that they've kept. But how do you see the combination of, you know, the retail volume changes and then fewer leases during the pandemic? What has that done to used car acquisition challenges for dealers right now? In fact, I just participated in a learning series that we produced here at Cox called The Complete Profit Picture, where we put our dealer partners with Auto Trader and vAuto. And a big part of the series was focused on those acquisition challenges and more specifically how to come them. But back to my question, can you kind of paint the picture of the situation and what you believe dealers should be doing and focused on to have better success with acquiring inventory?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I guess let me first touch on, and I think this is a party crasher, right, is that car dealers historically have always lived, or I should say franchise dealers, have really, one of their primary sources of prime used car inventory was lease turn-ins. And so obviously we all know that during the microchip shortage, car companies leasing tends to be more expensive from a incentive perspective. And so they were able to pull way, way back on leasing. And we dropped as an industry from about 31, 32% lease pen to down into the 16, 17 range. And some brands was even lower. Then bring in also the reduction in volume. And so those two things, the consequences is now we're in this valley of lease turn-ins where The industry used to see 3.5 to 4 million lease turn-ins a year. Almost think of it like an annuity of, prime real estate coming back in used cars. Mm-hmm. And these are easy. I get first dibs. I don't have to bid against anybody. I don't have to go to the auction to get them. I get first shot at these prime used cars. And now all of a sudden this year, I think we dropped down close around 2.3 million. So it is over 1.5 million less used cars coming back that are those prime pieces. So this creates, to your point, that this really new dynamic of challenging used car acquisition and how do I effectively stock, knowing that one of my primary sources of used inventory is drying up on me. And I think, Brian Benstock, who we all know, has a great line that he shared with me one time. He says, success leaves many clues. And I think we have to look no further than both Carvana and CarMax, which both do an incredible job of transparency, a frictionless trade-in process. They never give the customer the impression that they're trying to, quote unquote, steal the trade. And I can speak from an own personal experience here last year where I was working with a local dealer that offered me $5,000 less than what Carvana offered me, than what KBB said that it was worth, what V Auto said it was worth. And I think that dealers would be wise to understand that there's obviously an enormous amount of information, and those big box used car retailers like Carvana and CarMax have become very efficient and successful acquiring used car inventory with a seamless, frictionless, transparent process that customers love. And I guess I would add one last point to that. CarMax last year, about 86% of their inventory was acquired by street purchases. Yeah. So I would say to all the dealers that are out there, you've got challenges. And although we drive past the vending machine and we might have our own beliefs about the success of these companies, make no mistake, they're out there competing for your customers' trades.
Yeah, you bet. In fact, that's one of the most shocking stats, Brian, that I have heard all year. Blows my mind. And I ask the question that I'll ask in just a moment in every conference that I've presented over the last year. But I start it with this. So the average consumer that walks into a dealership now has just a hair under 3 offers in hand. Get millennials and some of the younger age groups, and they have up to 9 offers in their hand. And those offers spread on average at least $2,000. And you think about how long we have worked and where consumer expectations are on trust and confidence and the reasons why they will buy. So you're starting with this massive spread. And so the question that I ask dealers at conferences is, do you know how every consumer-facing individual in your organization would explain that $2,000 to $5,000 in your case, Brian, $2,000 to $5,000 variance and gap in the papers that they have in their hand on what their trade-in is worth? Do you know how everybody would explain that to them? Because that right there is you're gonna make or break the trust and confidence in that really big important piece of the conversation. And I have not been anywhere that I have had more than maybe 1 or 2 out of hundreds of people in an audience raise their hand. And those are the kind of things that our clients need to be thinking about. What are the real world blockers and objections to building trust, moving consumers through the funnel and attaching them to you? And are you earning every one of those trades, recognizing that right now, inventory acquisition, if you don't have to go out and get it, if it is a trade, especially as you talked about those lease grounds, that there are going to be less and less of them. Like, we're just starting to see the impact of that. That's going to be as big or bigger over the next 2 to 8 quarters. And so just great point. So the question that I think everyone has as we start to wrap things up, Brian, with the days of dealers pre-selling 90% of their incoming inventory at full sticker over the past 4 years is behind us now. And so what do you believe that dealers should be focused on to keep their business moving forward, moving the revenue needle, gaining incremental revenue share, as I always say, not only to close out this year strong, but to start to strategize ahead for 2025?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Jade. So a couple of quick thoughts, one of which going back to the trade appraisal, and one of the brightest things I ever heard from one of our V-Auto performance managers, where the light just went on above my head, and then my own experience of where they took my trade and they disappeared for 45, 50 minutes. And then they came back with a piece of paper with no explanation. And then I think about what this performance manager shared with me of a more active trade appraisal, where we tell every customer that we start at KBB Excellent, and then only 3% of vehicles actually qualify for that. And so we start there. And then as we walk around the vehicle, we can point out, well, we need to replace the tires. Well, we've got these other, you've got a thing on the rear bumper. And I think that that more transparent process does create more trust and understanding of the customer of why I'm not getting this number that was printed off on the piece of paper. So I thought that that was a great sort of best practice that one of our performance managers shared with me. The second part of your question is we think about the remainder of the year and as we move forward, and I think we all would acknowledge a much more competitive new car landscape as we're seeing rising incentives, we're seeing more dealer discounting, we're seeing, obviously, we touched on pressures around floor plan expense, not to mention, you know, the elephant in the room with the challenges that many of these dealers and franchises are feeling right now on electrification. But I think one thing that certainly is an age-old piece of advice that we can't lose sight of is this, that every single allocation system does work on turn and earn. And as we think about those specific elements of our inventory that probably represent, you know, there's probably three or four segments that account for 70% of our success, right? It's that crossover segment. It's the, you know, in fact, the segment that's grown the fastest this year is the compact SUV segment. It's had the biggest uptick this year. Is that, sure, consumers are looking for more affordable options. And so if I was a dealer, if I was a general manager at a store, I'd be thinking about, I cannot allow myself to have any straggler inventory, aged inventory that's bogging down my ability to maximize my allocation every month on those core segments that are going to drive so much of my sales and my profitability. And obviously, we need, you know, we can't take our eye off the other pieces, but the focus around our incentive plans for our managers and our salespeople, around our end of month strategies before the OEM allocation system runs, the dealers that do the best are the dealers that work as close as possible down to zero to maximize the monthly inflow of inventory. And I think that that sort of tried and true approach, sometimes we lose sight of the back to the basics, but I would say that that is such a critically important piece as we think about how we're going to navigate the rest of the year and give ourselves a chance to maximize our sales and profit.
Yeah, Brian, so well said. And that strategy on inventory turn, it actually carries through for our dealers' ability to measure or successfully measure even return on investment, return on advertising spend. You know, it's like sometimes a light bulb goes off when I say to a dealer that is trying to make advertising decisions based on cost per VDP or cost per lead. And I say, you know, which vehicle do you think gets the most VDPs? The one that's been in your lot for 67 days or the one that sold in 7? You're like, you know, all of these pieces play together. And so, you know, keeping a finger on the pulse of where the market is today, whether you are winning or losing, whether you're gaining market share, and whether you are controlling your turn, your inventory disposal, and your inventory acquisition are critical to success on every front. You cannot be profitable unless you're moving inventory. So, Brian, I want to thank you for joining me today. Such an incredible discussion around the really hot topics that have been affecting our industry all year long, and no doubt will continue to have an impact on us for many years to come. And I appreciate you sharing your insights and expertise, especially with the opportunities these challenges actually present the dealers open to trying new ways and modernizing. And so I encourage each of you to connect with Brian Finkelmeyer on LinkedIn or here at Cox Automotive. And Brian, thank you for joining us today.
Jade, it was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And that wraps us up. And thank you to our subscribers and followers for watching or listening to this episode of Unjaded for the Road Forward. Don't forget to go to b2b.autotrader.com/unjadedfortheroadforward, where you can sign up to be one of the first to hear when a new episode's released each month, as well as be surprised with subscriber-only bonuses throughout the year. And it is bonus episodes like this one that should encourage you to sign up now. As always, I'm your host, Jade Taraberry, and I want to thank you for joining us for Unjaded unjaded discussions aimed at helping you navigate what matters most. Be sure to tune in to upcoming episodes where we'll continue the open conversation with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they are currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. And as always, we are cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.